Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. And I often think of what a tool that God has given to us in prayer and how often we take that for granted. And trust that the words of that song were a blessing there and spoke to your heart. We are preaching this morning on prayer and fasting as for the next couple of weeks as we focus over the next 4 weeks of prayer and fasting through the life and ministry of the church. If you take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 4 this morning, Matthew chapter 4. The Bible is filled with examples of those who prayed and many times fasted, and we can learn many lessons from those. Today we'll be looking at the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the midst of a trial, being tempted by Satan, and how he used the tool of prayer and fasting, and I believe specifically for an example to each and every one of us as we live this Christian life, to be able to look at the example of our Savior here on this earth and see how he dealt with the devil's temptations and the devil's trials. And so if you found your place in your Bible, I'd invite you to stand this morning as we read Matthew chapter 4. We're going to read just two verses as we get into the preaching this morning, and when we'll study throughout the rest of the passage as we go throughout the time here this morning. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." And let's pray, and then after we're done praying, you can be seated and we'll preach this message this morning. Lord, we are so thankful for the Bible, Lord, that we can turn to and look to the examples. Lord, we're thankful for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth. Lord, a living, breathing example of how we should live the Christian life. We're thankful to be able to take a few moments this morning and examine the life of Christ in the midst of His suffering, Lord, the trials and temptations the devil put on Him, Lord. And we see our example of how He got through that was through a time of fellowship with You, Lord. Prayer and fasting, specifically recorded for us so that we might learn something from that. I pray that You'd help us as we preach this message this morning. Lord, would You meet with us? Would Your Spirit rain down upon us and give us something from this passage this morning? We love You and we thank You for these things. In Your name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I believe as we begin to look into this passage here, it's important to understand the context of what's going on here in the Scriptures. There in chapter 3, we would say this would be the beginning of Jesus Christ's public ministry here on this earth. And in chapter 3, Jesus was led by God to be baptized by John the Baptist there in the Jordan River. And many of you are familiar with that passage as the Bible says the heavens opened up, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God descended upon Jesus as a dove, and the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The announcement was made that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, was here. He had taken flesh upon Him, and He had come down robed in humanity to this earth. And we see there, immediately upon Jesus allowing being baptized, the Spirit of God, the Bible says, led Him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, I believe that this passage has been recorded for us as Christians, so that we might see how Jesus would deal with the temptations, the spiritual battles in which He would face from the devil. And listen, this morning I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that He came to this earth, He put on humanity as the sinless sacrifice, the only one that could pay the penalty for our sins, and He came to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. And this morning, as we look at the life of Jesus, I believe there are two reasons why Jesus came to this earth. The very first reason, the primary reason, the main reason Jesus took on human form was to be the Savior of the world, to die upon the cross for our sins. And what a blessing it is for us to understand this morning. Listen, as a person, I could never buy my way to heaven. As a person, I could never be good enough to earn my way to heaven. It would be impossible. There is only one way that we can go to heaven, and that's through the sinless sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you've walked through the doors of this church today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, listen, you are not able to go to heaven. And yet, what a blessing it is to understand that He extends this invitation. The Bible says, to whosoever will may come. And listen, this morning the Bible says, if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what a blessing that that invitation goes out to everyone. Amen. And the primary reason, the main reason Jesus came to this earth was to die on the cross for your sins and for mine.
That's right. Yes, sir.
To be able to save us so that one of these days we can have eternal life.
Amen.
What a blessing that we can, each and every one of us, can accept His free gift of salvation. But I also believe beyond dying on the cross for our sins, there's a secondary reason that Jesus was robed in flesh. It was for those of us that are Christians, that we may be able to look at His life and see an example of how we are to live this Christian life.
Amen.
I remember when I was growing up, particularly when I was around high school, there was a new fad that came onto the scene. It seems like things come and go very quickly, but one of those things was a bracelet that people would wear around their wrist, and it was usually some type of fabric, and woven into the fabric was four letters. Many of you remember what those letters were, WWJD. The idea there was, we asked ourselves this question, what would Jesus do in this situation? As we go through life, as we encounter certain things, how would Jesus respond in this area or in that area? Sadly, that was more of a fad than really a lifestyle for most people. And about as quickly as it came, it went away. But I wonder if we lived our lives asking ourselves that question every day of our lives. What would Jesus do in this situation? And here's the wonderful thing. Listen, we don't even have to ask ourselves that because God gives us the example of Scripture. The Gospels have been recorded so that we might know what Jesus would do in every situation, how He would have reacted. In fact, I want you to turn over to 1 Peter this morning, because Peter, in the New Testament, gives us something about the life of Jesus. And 1 Peter in chapter 2, I believe this is a powerful thing this morning that we see recorded of our Savior here. In 1 Peter chapter 2, and the Bible tells us in verse 21, speaking to the Christian, He says, "For even hereunto were ye called." Listen, if you're a Christian today, you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This is what you've been called to as a Christian. He says, "Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." And the Scriptures say, listen, the life of Jesus was recorded, including the sufferings that our Savior went through, so that it would leave for us as Christians an example, and so that it would not just be an example that we would look to and say, "I see how Jesus handled it." No, the Bible says so that we would follow in His steps and deal with things, a suffering in particular, the way that Jesus did. The Bible goes on to say in verse 22, "who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth." Verse 23, "who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not." I love this phrase at the end of verse 23, "but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously." How would Jesus respond in times when people would speak evil about Him or speak falsely against Him? You know what Jesus did? He committed those things to the Father. He said, "God, all things are in Your hand. You're the one that judgeth righteously." How would Jesus do when would He act when people would slander against Him or fight against Him or say evil things against Him? He'd reflect all things to God and say, "God, I'm turning these things over to You, to Him that judgeth righteously." How would He handle when people would praise Him or pat Him on the back? He would reflect and point all glory to God. I'm telling you here this morning, that was written, and those things are recorded for us so that we may have an example in our lives. As we live this life, what would Jesus do? As we suffer through this life, how did Jesus react to the suffering? I think it's important for us to understand as well this morning that while Jesus was here on this earth, He was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. And listen, this morning, I don't begin to fully comprehend or understand how all of that took place. I believe it because the Bible says it. And I don't know that our human minds can completely fathom how he could be 100% God and 100% man at the same time. But I'm telling you that he took on flesh, became man for us so that we might have an example that we would see in the midst of the times of suffering, in the times of spiritual battle, how Jesus would react and we could follow his steps. And so we see that Jesus did suffer here on this earth. He came to this earth. The passage that we just read in Matthew chapter 4 and the passage that we'll study this morning details some of the sufferings of our Savior, some of the spiritual battles that he went through. But he did that for us. It was recorded for us to be an example to us. We see that he was tempted of the devil there in Matthew chapter 4. As you would read the corresponding passage as it continues to go, the devil for 40 days there tempted Jesus Christ on a daily basis. And then finally he tempted him in three areas. He asked Jesus to take a stone and make it to be made bread. Jesus was very hungry, had gone through a 40-day fast. There he said, make the stone, turn it into bread. Jesus quoted scripture. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. And then he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Again, Satan came to him. He took him to the pinnacle of the temple there in Jerusalem, the holy city, and at the top of the temple. And he said, listen, if you'll just cast yourself off of this temple, God will send his angels to save you. And Jesus again quoted scripture. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. The third time he took him to a high place and he began to show him all the world. And he said, I'll give all of this to you if you'll simply bow down and worship me. And Jesus, again quoting scripture, told him that only God is worthy of worship. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. And I love it because when the devil came to tempt Jesus, Jesus used scripture. Amen. He quoted scripture to him. And he committed all things to God who judgeth righteously. And I'm here to tell you that this passage of Matthew chapter 4, I believe, has been recorded for us as Christians this morning so that we might have an example through the daily battles that we have in our lives with the devil on a constant basis of how Jesus reacted to that. I believe it's important that we sit up and take notice of this. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4 as well, because I think it's important to set up this thought this morning. Hebrews chapter 4 is a wonderful passage of Scripture that teaches us much about our relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks there specifically in verse 14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. The Bible tells us, listen, as Christians this morning, we have an advocate in heaven, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the high priest, who's ever living to make intercession to the Father for us. And he says, listen, it's not like God gave us an example and put someone here that didn't go through the things that you and I go through. And Jesus lived on this earth. And Jesus suffered. He endured the spiritual battles that you and I go through. The Bible says he did it without sin. And he's an example for us, and we can look to that and listen. Jesus can identify with us because he's been through the same things that you and I go through on a daily basis, the attacks and the battles of the devil. But look at verse 16 with those things in mind, knowing that he has gone through those things. Look what it says in verse 16. Then let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And what a blessing for us to understand that, listen, we can go to Jesus Christ, our advocate to the Father, and he can identify with us. He knows what we've gone through. And listen, as a Christian this morning, if I'm going through something, if I have a need, I can go to the Father and I can say, Lord, would you meet this need? And he says, come boldly before the throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. And I begin to think about the power of prayer and the tool that God has given to us in prayer and even fasting. And I wonder in my own life, how many times have I taken that for granted? And not used the tool of prayer that God has so richly given to us. The fact that I can fall before the throne of the Almighty and he knows the things that I've gone through and he says, I can help you through these things. I remember as a child growing up, all children are somewhat needy, are they not? And I remember being a needy child. But you know what? As a little boy, when I had a need, I went to my dad. I remember many times just maybe being hungry and saying, Dad, I'm hungry. Can you meet this need? Can you provide food for me? There were times growing up, I needed money. You ever notice that kids need a lot of money? I don't know why. Even going into the mall and I would stand before those big gumball machines. Dad, I need a quarter. Dad, can you meet this need? I need a quarter. I remember times when I was growing up in which I was feeling maybe sick and I would say, Dad, I don't feel well. Can you help me, Dad? You know why I went to my dad? Because I knew my dad loved me. I knew he cared for me. I knew if there was any possible way that he could meet that need, he would do it. And here's what I love about our Savior. Listen, I'm a dad, and I understand the love I have for my children. It's a great love, but it is not even to be compared with the love that our God has for us. And he says, listen, when you have a need, you can come to me. You can bow before my throne. Listen, Jesus is there ever living to make intercession for us. And as a Christian, listen, this morning, it doesn't matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter what needs we may have. We can come boldly before the throne of grace and we can access God's throne and pray and beg God to meet those needs through that awesome power of prayer that he gives to us. And so we see here in the scriptures, we see here this example of our Savior during his time of suffering here on this earth. Back in Matthew chapter 4, and I want to look at this passage with those things in mind, knowing that Jesus is our example of how we should live our lives. Back in Matthew chapter 4, the Bible, of course, we just read there, shows us Jesus being led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Therefore, a determined amount of time. But I want you to look at this morning at two things from this passage. First of all, I want you to see the reason for Jesus fasting. The reason why it was that Jesus fasted. And I believe a very simple reason. The first reason, the Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. I believe the very first reason that Jesus fasted is because the Holy Spirit had led him to that place. Again, you'll have to remember that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. The Bible says when Jesus was baptized that the Holy Spirit was placed upon him, the Holy Spirit's power was placed upon him to go out and knowing all that he would accomplish, there was a time in which the Spirit led him into this wilderness for a time of intense prayer and fasting, a time of fellowship with God, knowing all that Jesus was about to endure. And I believe that God had led him specifically there to have this time of fellowship. And I'm here to tell you this morning that there are times in the Christian life in which Jesus will prod upon your heart, prod upon my heart. Maybe there's something coming up that we have no idea about. But God sees the road ahead and he says, my child needs a little bit of extra time with me. Needs a little bit more time of fellowship, a little time of getting a hold of my throne. And sometimes it's through prayer, and other times he prods upon our heart to begin to fast something. And the very idea of fasting is setting aside a physical need, setting aside a physical pleasure so that I might get a hold of the throne of God, that God realizes how serious I am about this, that I'm willing to set aside something physical to get a hold of the spiritual. Sometimes in the midst of a spiritual battle, a trial that we find ourselves in, and God will impress upon your heart. God will impress upon my heart. Listen, you need to draw just a little bit closer to me during these times. There's a war raging around you right now, my son, and there's some time. You need some fellowship with the Father. Listen, Jesus was about to go through 40 days of intense temptation. He was about to go and accomplish what God had placed him here on this earth to accomplish. And in the forethought of God, seeing the road ahead, God knew that Jesus needed this time of fellowship with the Father, and that it would serve a great example for us as Christians to see how Jesus would endure some of these things. And so he was led of the Spirit. I believe the first reason why Jesus fasted was because he was led by the Spirit to do that. May I say this morning that we need to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in every area of our lives, but particularly in the area of our relationship with him. Again, God sees the road ahead, sees all the things that we may be going through in the near future, and realizes sometimes, listen, it'll be just good if that person, if that Christian can spend a little bit more time with me getting a hold of the throne of grace, coming boldly before that throne. And so we see, first of all, I believe he was led by the Spirit. But I believe, second of all, the reason he fasted is because he was about to endure intense spiritual warfare. Look at verse 2. The Bible says, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." During those 40 days that he fasted, the Bible tells us in Luke in chapter 4, which is a parallel passage of this story, that during those entire 40 days, the devil was tempting him on a daily basis. He was enduring intense spiritual battle. And listen, the only way the human aspect of Jesus Christ would get through that was through that time of fellowship with the Father. Amen. Through those 40 days. And I'm speaking to some in here this morning. Listen, that you've endured spiritual battles in your life. And listen, has anybody ever felt like you were a prime target for the devil? I mean, as you go through this life, it seems like the devil's just working overtime in your life. I mean, the attack comes from this side, and then all of a sudden you look over here and the devil's attacking from this area, and you're thinking, will it ever let up? And some of you who have gone through that, you can praise the Lord. You're looking back. Listen, if you endured those times of temptation, those times of trial by Satan, the only way you endured that, it wasn't through your own power and your strength. It was through God's power and God's strength. And possibly in the midst of those times, you drew close to God through prayer, and you drew upon the strength that God gives through prayer, and you came boldly before the throne of God. And sometimes you've even been oppressed upon your heart to fast something. God, I don't care about this physical need as long as I have your Spirit and your power upon me and working in and through me. What an example our Savior gives us. Listen, Jesus was 100% God. Jesus had the power and the ability to be able to fight with the devil. Listen, you and I don't have that power and that strength in our own power. We cannot do battle with the devil in our own strength. If we're going to succeed and live a victorious Christian life, it's not going to be through our own strength. It's going to be through God's strength. I remember in our ministry in Cleveland, I was overseeing the bus ministry there and had several people that were in leadership positions, and it had come to my attention, and I had noticed some things about one of the people that was in one of the leadership positions that was not making right decisions, and began to realize that I would have to deal with that. And can I say that the devil was fighting some major battles with that ministry, and particularly that area of the ministry? And I began to pray about that because I knew that some decisions were going to have to be made. I began to ask God to give me wisdom. I was a very young man in the ministry, hadn't dealt with something like that before, but realized that God could give me the strength and wisdom. And in the midst of that spiritual battle, it was as though the Lord impressed upon my heart to begin fasting and asking God, "Lord, I know there are some tough decisions that are going to have to be made. They're going to affect some people and some meetings that are going to have to take place. Lord, I need your power and you need your strength." And it was a blessing because one afternoon that evening I was going to have to pull some people into the office there and have to have some meetings, make some decisions. And as I was fasting and praying for God to intervene that afternoon, I was getting ready to leave the office to go home for a few hours, come back and have some meetings that evening, and the phone in my office rang, and the secretary on the other end said, "There's so-and-so that wants to speak with you." And I answered the phone, and I had never met the person on the other end of the line. Would never meet them again, and they said, "You don't know me, but there's some things that you need to know." And listen, as I began to hear the things that they told me, I realized some of the decisions that I had thought the Lord was having to make, this phone call confirmed some of those decisions. And I hung up that phone and I pushed back from my desk and I said, "Praise the Lord," because I realized, listen, in that time of prayer and fasting, the Lord had confirmed some things. I realized God was working on my behalf. In the midst of that spiritual battle that I found myself fighting through, I knew God was right there alongside of me. It was through the tool of prayer and through the tool of fasting. And what a blessing that was. And again, say, there may be someone here this morning that says, "I've endured, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've endured some intense spiritual warfare. I've gone through some things on my own." Or maybe there's someone in here this morning and you say, "Brother Andy, it seems like the devil is fighting me hard. It seems like I'm in the midst of a spiritual battle right now." And God says, "You can come to me. You can bring those things before my throne." He says, "You can come boldly before the throne of grace and find grace and mercy to help in your time of need." And God gives us, first of all, the example of Jesus Christ. who fell before God and who begged and fellowshipped with Him for those 40 days of testing and trial. God gives us that example, but God also gives us the same ability to get a hold of the throne of God through the tool of, first of all, prayer and then fasting. Job said it this way. He said, "I've esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food." He said, "I'm willing, even if I have to give up some things, to hear God speak to me, to have God working in my behalf. If I have to give up some physical things in my life to have God working on my behalf, that's what I'm willing to do." So we, first of all, we see in this example of our Savior the reason for fasting. But secondly, this morning, I want you to see the result of Jesus fasting. The result of Jesus fasting. And first, I want you to see here that fasting, it left Jesus physically hungry, but it left Him spiritually full. Look at the end of verse 2. The Bible says, "And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered." Speaking physically, Jesus had the same needs that you and I have as we live here on this earth. The Bible many times speaks specifically of Jesus and His need to rest and the times in which He felt sorrow. And I believe very truly here in this passage that Jesus, after 40 days of no food, was certainly hungering and having many hunger pains. And while He may have been physically hungry, can I say, while His flesh hungered and may even have pained Him inside, spiritually, He was full. Spiritually, He was very satisfied because He had just spent the last 40 days in communications with God the Father and had the power of God upon His life. And spiritually, He was ready to do battle with the devil. I can't even begin to imagine the oppression that Jesus went through during those 40 days. But can I tell you this? When Satan came to Him to tempt Him, and we see there in the ensuing passages there in Matthew chapter 4, when the devil tempted Him with this and with that, He was so spiritually full that those temptations really weren't temptations at all. He was simply spiritually full. And listen, when the devil came to tempt Him, it really wasn't much of a temptation because God, He had the power of God in His life. I want you to understand that as a Christian this morning, that's the way I'd love to be. That's the goal for each and every Christian life, that we're so full of the Spirit and the power of God. We may be physically hungry or we may have physical needs because we've set aside and fasted some things, but spiritually we're so full that when the devil, the tempter, comes to do battle with us, we say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. I'm full of the power of God. I'm ready to do battle with the devil, not in my own spirit and not in my own power, but with the power of God in my life. Because I've got a hold of the throne of God. God is working on my behalf." And I see, first of all, the result of fasting. It left Jesus physically hungry, but spiritually full. You know, sometimes I fear we as Christians, though, get this backward. We show up and we're physically full. We've taken in just about everything. Sometimes, even on Sundays, we can show up to this place and we're so full of the world that we don't have much of a spiritual appetite. You know, many of us wouldn't make a habit out of skipping meals. And listen, I know for me, if there's a meal on the table, I'm ready to eat. That's where I'm at. And we don't make a habit out of skipping meals, but I wonder how many times we'll go a day without taking any spiritual food in. Or maybe we'll go days on end with no communication. And then we wonder in our own lives, why am I struggling so much in the Spirit? Why am I struggling with these spiritual battles? It's because, listen, instead of being spiritually full, we're physically full and spiritually empty. The example of our Savior was that while He was physically hungry, He was spiritually full. What a blessing that is. And then I want you to see, secondly, that fasting not only left Him physically hungry, spiritually full, fasting left Jesus physically weak, but spiritually strong. Look at what the Bible says in verse 11. "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Listen, I believe God knows exactly what we have need of as we live this Christian life. I again think of Jesus in those 40 days of fasting, no food. Physically, the need that would take, the toll just physically that they would take of not having that nourishment for 40 days. And listen, as we study the Scriptures, there's only two other times in Scripture in which someone fasted for 40 days, and in all three occasions, It was a supernatural act of the power of God. And listen, I don't believe here in this day and age that someone would fast for 40 days and be able to survive that kind of thing. But we see the example of Scriptures. Listen, the idea there that Jesus going through 40 days, not having any type of food, and then also the attacks by the devil on this hand and on that hand, and being physically just weary and torn. But spiritually, at the end of that, he was strengthened. Angels came and ministered unto him. And listen, maybe again, you've been through some trials. And listen, those of us that have done battle with the devil and you had him attack on this hand and on that hand, maybe you've gone through your own trials in your life and you begin to look in the midst of that. Listen, physically you're weary. You know what it does physically to your body when you're doing battle with the devil. But I love at the end of a trial in which you've honored God, and you've walked with God and you sought God through the midst of that trial. I love being able to look back on that trial and seeing how God's hand led and directed me through that. And I don't know about you, but spiritually, that's a strengthening time to realize, listen, in the midst of the battle that I was doing and in the midst of the time in which I was suffering, just like our Savior suffered, and the devil was intensely battling me spiritually, as I looked to God, God's power was upon me to navigate me through those times, to lead me and guide me spiritually. And we may come through that trial and we may be physically not have a whole lot of energy left and physically weary. But some of you this morning would say, praise the Lord, because at the end of the trial, I knew God had worked on my behalf. And spiritually that strengthened me. Spiritually I was full. Spiritually I had the power to go on and do something wonderful for God. And this morning, our God gives us the example of our Savior, Jesus Christ, in the times of His battle with the devil, and how He responded to those attacks by the devil. He had fellowship with God. The Bible says He prayed and He fasted as He went through that time. And as I began to examine this passage, one other thing popped out to me that possibly is even a greater blessing than all of these things. I want you to turn over to Luke in chapter 4, and we'll finish here with this verse. Luke in chapter 4, in verse 13, this again is a parallel passage. This is Luke's account of the time of Jesus' time there in the wilderness, fasting and praying, and then the three temptations at the end. The Bible says in verse 13, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." I want you to think about that. Jesus had just been baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. He's led apart for 40 days to have fellowship with the Father, to fast and pray. The devil comes and begins to attack him during those entire 40 days. And I wonder if sometimes maybe Jesus thought, will the attacks ever end? But I want you to see that the Bible says they did end. The Bible says in verse 13, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." You may be going through a spiritual battle this morning. You may be in this place and you're wondering, will this ever end? Can I say to you, this too shall pass. This trial that you find yourself in the midst of, it will pass. And listen, while the Bible says the devil went away, we understand that the devil would come back later on and he would do battle with the devil. But there was a season of life in which the devil was not attacking Jesus. And the same can be said about our lives. The physical trials, the spiritual trials, the battles that we go through, the devil will come and attack for a season. But praise the Lord, the devil will go away for a season. And what a blessing that is. But can I help you understand this morning? While the devil comes and does battle with us, and sometimes the devil departs from us and leaves us alone for a season, can I say that Jesus Christ says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He tells us as Christians to abide in Him every day of this life. Amen. What a blessing for us to understand. If I find myself in the midst of a spiritual battle, if I find myself in the midst of a trial with the devil that I'm in right now, and this too shall pass. Eventually it'll be gone. The sun always comes up the next day. And the Bible says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And what a blessing for us to understand that, listen, the sun will rise, and listen, God will give us victory if we'll keep our eyes on Him. But the example of our Savior in the midst of our personal trials, in the midst of our spiritual battles, is Jesus' example of drawing close to the Savior and drawing close to God and helping Him through those times. And I believe this morning that this passage has been recorded so that we might see the example of our Savior in the midst of the attacks of the devil, the fighting of the devil. And I ask you this morning, in your Christian life, is the devil attacking you right now? Are you going through the midst of a spiritual battle? The Bible says the way to victory, through prayer. Coming boldly before the throne of grace. Finding grace and mercy to help in our time of need. And possibly, Lord, even going beyond that. The Holy Spirit impressing upon your heart. Fasting something. Giving up some type of physical need. Giving up some type of physical pleasure so that you might access the throne of God and have His power on your behalf. What a wonderful passage of Scripture helping us to see Jesus, our example for prayer and fasting. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I appreciate so much the way you've listened this morning. I ask you today, what are you going through in this life? Are you doing battle with the devil right now? Have you found yourself in the midst of some physical or spiritual battles? And Jesus, His command to the Christian is very clear. Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, listen, you want to defeat the devil? You want to do battle with the devil? You cannot do it in your own power, but if you'll come to Me, if you'll come to My throne, I can give you the strength and the power that you need to deal with the physical or the spiritual trial that you're in. Maybe there's someone in here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And you come to this place and you're saying, listen, I've just been searching for something in my life, something to fill the void that I've found in my life. And I realize I need Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I realize today that I cannot go to heaven in my own strength and my own power, but Jesus is calling me. He's convicted my heart, and I need to accept His gift of salvation today. In just a moment, we're going to pray, and some have already responded to the invitation. In just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation, and if the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, I want you to come to this altar. I want you to find a personal worker that'll take a Bible and show you some things that you'll need to have need of in your life. Let's pray this morning, and then we'll start the invitation. Lord, we're so thankful for Your goodness. Lord, I thank You for this message that You've given to us on prayer and fasting and getting a hold of the throne of God, Lord. And I understand this morning that many of us are doing battle with the devil. Lord, in our own strength and our own power, we cannot do battle with Him on our own. Lord, with Your power and Your strength, we can. And I pray that You'd help us this morning as we have this invitation, Lord, as You've spoken to hearts today. I pray that people would respond to the message this morning and get a hold of Your throne today. We love You and we thank You for all these things. In Your name I pray. Amen.